720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here with you on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for being with us today, and thanks for sharing part of your Friday with me. It is lovely and sunny outside. It's chilly out there, but it is beautiful sunshine, and I hope you're getting a little bit of that in your eyes and on your face. And we got to take all that warmth and all that sunshine while we get it, right? Because we never know when it's going to be gray again. Well, lots to do on the program today, lots of things to talk about, and there's going to be a theme, and that's kind of this year-end moment that we're in and looking ahead towards the year ahead. Lots of things centering around there that we're going to be talking about today. Our first guest, Andrea Hannes, is an editor at Blue Sky Innovation upstairs at the Chicago Tribune. Always a pleasure to have you with us, Andrea. How are you today?
Great, Amy. How are you?
Great. Well, so, you know, crowdfunding is a thing that we've talked about a lot on the program, both to individual entrepreneurs that have gone through a crowdfunding or started out that way with that as kind of their seed capital, or entrepreneurs that have used crowdfunding to kind of level up a little bit, if you will, right, and kind of go that next level or do that next big thing. But there's a piece at ChicagoTribune.com on Blue Sky that is really interesting. It's kind of the year of crowdfunding and some of the favorite projects that were specifically from Chicago that came to be because of crowdfunding. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so we took a look back at some of the bigger crowdfunding efforts that came out of Chicago this year, and they often are unique kind of products. You know, people are using things like Kickstarter, Indiegogo to really test the market and see if there's interest in maybe an unusual new product they have to offer. So we found a number of those types of campaigns.
Well, that's exactly a great approach. I've gone through a Kickstarter myself, and it really kind of forces you to refine your product and your pitch. And it, in a way, it's like being accountable to 700 people, which is really a gift. It's really interesting to go about that way. So what are some of the themes that we see when we look at all the big projects that came through or came to be because of a crowdfunding effort this year that are based in Chicago? Were they all around a particular sector or a particular theme, or were they just kind of across the board, just different things?
You know, there's really a variety. There's some things that are, you know, kind of office related, I would say. There's a device called the Monument, which is a little device that almost looks like a little Apple TV, and it helps you store and organize photos, which in this era when we're all taking zillions of photos a day, it kind of helps you organize them in all kinds of different ways, which I think is interesting.
Oh, I need that.
yeah, right? I know. I think kind of we all do at this point. There's an interesting thing called the Edge Desk, which is a pretty cool thing that's like a, you know, for people on the go, it lets you create almost a little desk with a, you know, either like a drawing board or a little, you know, it could be a desk, it could be an easel, and you can just fold it up and take it with you. So kind of for professionals or creative people on the go, that one has raised $500,000. And then there's kind of a couple things that are a little more maybe funky or funny. I think the Backblade probably qualifies for that, which is a device used to shave your back.
Well, hey, if that's what you need to do, go for it.
You know, you need a good tool to do it, right?
Sure. And so why is that particular back-shaving product different than and more innovative than, say, just an old razor or going to get a wax or something?
You know, supposedly, I guess it saves you from all that embarrassment. It's on a big handle, so you can do it yourself in the privacy of your own home, I guess.
Oh my gosh, this makes me laugh so hard because I think in pictures, so I'm imagining somebody
know,
with this, like a razor and a selfie stick trying to shave their own back. Well,
it
hey.
Kind of is.
Whatever people need to do. And then what about this this water bottle? That sounds really interesting, that holds two beverages but at different temperatures. So you could like take your coffee and your cold water at the same time.
Yeah, I love this idea kind of because I'm definitely one that needs to have my ice water and my coffee at the same time. So, you know, that's exactly what it does. It looks like a fairly traditional water bottle, but it's split down the middle and it allows you to have hot on one side and cold on the other. And there, I think having, you know, what a lot of these kind of small manufacturing efforts run into, they seem to be having a bit of a delay getting that made. So time will tell in 2017, you know, if they're able to actually get that made in quantity and get it out the door.
That's interesting, too. It seems like there's some travel stuff, too. There's like the pillow that'll play music, and there's some luggage, and we also saw that it wasn't in Chicago, but we saw that there was that travel jacket and hoodie company that overnight had something like $3 million, and they were only asking for about 17,000. So it kind of to me hints that maybe the market is really hungry for a lot of innovative travel products.
Yeah, the Moto bag, which we specifically mentioned, is, I think, captured a lot of attention for something that also isn't really out there in a mass way yet. But it is, it's just so visual, and it's so, like, you know, it allows you to basically sit on your suitcase and ride it through the airport, which for everyone who's had terrible airport experiences, that seems kind of fascinating, but it also seems like, can this really work? We actually borrowed one and tested it out right outside where you're probably sitting right now, right outside there in the plaza. So we actually have a video of people on our staff sitting on this thing and riding it. And it's, you know, it's a little bit pricey. It's, you know, near $1,000 was at least their original price. And, you know, how successful is it going to be for people to actually balance on this thing and be able to ride it? Time will tell, but it's kind of an interesting idea.
I'm predicting like airport bumper cars coming out of this and people just crashing into each other. And then tell us about this oven. There's a smart oven on the list that sounds really interesting, too.
Yeah, so this Tavala oven, which definitely came out of Chicago, is a smart oven which they are selling kind of in concert with food subscriptions. So when you think of these like food kit type of things that are so popular where you get all the ingredients to make a meal, they're doing that, but also with an oven that kind of makes the process theoretically just more seamless. So you get the food and then it goes in the oven, and you know, there's kind of pre-programmed things that just make it very easy to prepare food.
They're going to take away all the joy of the kitchen, I feel like. I think there's...
I know.
I think it's kind of fun to go buy the things and prep it and do that. And so I've never gotten on board with the meal subscriptions, but I know people that love it. One of my neighbors gets it every single week and absolutely loves the meal subscriptions and said it's really changed her game as far as cooking. So I guess it's to each his or her own on that one.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, so what are we... As we're looking ahead, do we think... Because, you know, some of the investing rules have tweaked a little bit this year. Do we think that Kickstarters and Indiegogos and that kind of crowdfunding, will it play the same kind of role, a bigger role, or do you think it's going to change a little in the year ahead, if you had to guess?
Yeah, I think those, you know, continue to play a role. And I think what we touched on earlier, this idea of companies using it almost for market research, we seem to hear that more and more. I think, you know, people are very willing to then tweak the product or tweak the price, solve problems and what they're offering. So I think it's, you know, I think we've seen it increase, if anything, in use, and people maybe being a little philosophical about what they're using it for. Mm-hmm. Now, the other end of that is always the consumer end, because consumers, although, you know, we're careful to say you're not actually buying a product at a particular price point, you're supporting the cause, but basically you're expecting to ultimately get a product. And there are those that run into trouble with then producing the product. So there's always that balance between you're maybe smart as a business person to use the customer as market research, but you're also taking their money. So ultimately, you have a responsibility to them as well. So that balance, I think, will continue to play out.
Yeah. And then timelines and all that. I've watched a couple of Kickstarters with products that, you know, through no fault of their own, you know, they got held up with this or this manufacturing company closed and they had to kind of start over and do this. And it seemed like it added a year to it, which I think is not an uncommon Kickstarter problem, no doubt, but all very interesting. And it's, I think it's an interesting way for people to kind of have a stake in a product. And especially when it's one from our own backyard right here in Chicago, that's very, very cool. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Andrea Hannes, Blue Sky Innovation Editor, right upstairs at Chicago Tribune. Everybody, head to ChicagoTribune.com, go to Blue Sky and check this out and all the other great stories that they have going at Blue Sky. Lots of cool stuff all about technology and innovation and business right here in Chicago. Thanks for being with us today, Andrea.
Thank you, Amy. Happy New Year.
Thanks, you too. All right, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about some career resolutions. That is a thing we should all be making. So we're going to be talking about that in here in just a bit on 720 WGN. WGN Hits, Amy Guth here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for being with us today. We're talking a lot about year-end stuff, kind of reflecting back on the year and looking forward to the year ahead today on the show, as we do, as we are wont to do this time of year. I think we're all doing that, both personally and professionally. And so as we move into the professional realm of that, we welcome our good friend Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of the LaSalle Network. He's here in studio with us hanging out. Always good to see you, Tom.
Good to see you, Amy.
So when it comes to career resolutions,
right,
I think sometimes they're pretty straightforward, but I think that we overlook a lot of stuff because sometimes it's like get a new job or get promoted or something like that. But there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, it's almost like saying I want to lose 20 pounds. Right. That's a resolution, but it doesn't really give you an action plan to how to do it. So you go and you belong to a gym or you buy a treadmill for your house or running shoes to run outside or whatever. You create a plan. for career resolutions, we do what you just prefaced. We say, I want to get promoted or I want to race. Right? Well, that's not giving you a plan, you know, and I want Santa to come 365 days a year. It
right, and I want a giant bag of money to hit
exactly
me on the head, whatever.
Right. So the question is, take account and say, what did I do poorly in the past year? Where did I not run through the wall? Where did I not give 100% of my time? Where could I have done more in this past year? And then say, are you willing to do those things in 2017?
Mm, that's a key one, because it's hard to kind of look at your own shortcomings sometimes.
I know the biggest obstacle to people going from being good or great at their jobs or achieving the success they want is the lack of self-perspective. Where am I? If I were my boss, what would I want from me? And if you can't find tangible things, you're not being honest with yourself.
That's very true. And so do you recommend people look for that kind of feedback roundly, maybe like a 360 review or go to the boss?
I mean, the key is you've got to bring your real self to work, right? If you act differently in the office than you do at home, that's obstacle number one, right? You've got to be very comfortable and talk frankly to your boss. Say, I want to be better. What do you want from me? Now, the hard part of asking that question is you've got to live up to what their answer is.
Right. You may not like it.
Right. It's kind of like complaining in the workplace. And you go, I don't think we do this well as a company. Okay. The moment you say that, which you should,
you may be ready to
do more work in order to make it better.
Right.
And people forget that part.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard before that our mayor has kind of a policy that's something like, don't come in here with a complaint unless you come in with a solution also and are prepared to do it
and
yourself.
And that's exactly right. I can tell you what the radio station, what this, what that needs to do to be better, but am I willing to do the work?
right. There's that.
It's a huge thing.
And then what about as we think about all the things we want to do, sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming.
Yep.
And so do you recommend we kind of say, okay, this time next year I want to be here, so I should kind of work backwards, or how
I'm
do
a
that?
Big fan of reverse timelines, but I also believe that most of us work better with shorter periods of time for goals, and human nature works that way. So quarterly business goals work really, really well, whether you're in sales, marketing, accounting, back office, HR, it doesn't make a difference. Create quarterly goals. And if you hit each of your quarterly goals at the end of the year, if you've done everything, right, I think you have a real chance of accomplishing the big goal.
Yeah. At the very least, you'll be a lot closer to it.
Absolutely.
Than if you just sit there and go, okay,
The sense of accomplishment that you have of setting a goal and hitting it in a short time frame of 3 months makes you feel better about yourself. I mean, there is this circle of life type of deal,
sure.
Right? That you accomplish something you set out to do, and you do it, you feel better, you like your job more, you like your job better, and you do it better.
Less of a jerk to your coworkers, and so on.
It kind of works that way.
And then what about the role of accountability?
Well, there's two types of accountability. There's personal accountability of, are you doing what you say you're going to do? And then there's to your team. And there's looking. And when you talk to your boss, is to say, this doesn't need to be an hour conversation. In 15 minutes, you can sit down with your boss and go, did our group hit the goals? Whether if you know it, you can go in and say, I know our goal was X and we were X minus 5, right? We didn't get there. What could I have done differently, right? To really own it. To own that you know what you should have done, or to say, if I would have done. And the other thing is, we look at business a lot like football teams look at their games. It's not the field. Why is the field goal at the end of the game any more important than the field goal in the first quarter if you lose by 2 points?
Right.
You would have won by one no matter what.
Sure.
And so when at work, you've got to look and say, it wasn't what I did or didn't do in the fourth quarter. What did I not do in the first quarter of the year, the second quarter of the year? Come out of the gates hot and make a dent right off the bat.
That's a great point. I think that team accountability is a really important one, because I think it's easy to start passing blame around a table when you're talking about, we didn't get this team goal, but really, what did I do to not get us there or get
Absolutely.
Us there?
Absolutely. And so often, right, we look at this whole, which is a whole nother conversation, Amy, but the work-life balance conversation, which is great, and everybody should get what they want, and we should all have presence every day when we wake up in the morning. But even more so is work-life balance, but how about relationship balance at work, right? So I'm going to do my job in 40 or 45 hours a week, but then to build the relationship with Amy, how much time am I going to spend with Amy beyond that to have a great work partnership and then grow? And that takes time too. So you want to like your coworkers. You want your coworkers to like you. You want to be fit in. You want to grow. You want more responsibility and more money, but I want to be out the door at 5:30.
Right.
You got to be willing to give.
Yeah.
And the rewards are huge. Huge.
Yeah, very true. Very true. That is a whole other segment. We can talk about that too. Tom Gimbel, thanks for being with us. Always
Happy
a pleasure.
Happy New Year to you and everybody out there.
Founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. You can find out, you're on social media and websites all the things. You can find him.
Thank you.
Everywhere you need him. All right, thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time. We'll take a little break and get you upstairs to news here on 720 WGN. About the year we're leaving behind and the year that we're stepping into today. So we have this theme running where we were reflecting on some of the local businesses that did really, really well, particularly in the area of crowdfunding this year. And we looked ahead about career resolutions that we can take on to really rock the year ahead. But let's also talk about another part of that, and that is our financial resolutions. That one is super important because money's the thing that makes people so squirmy, right? It makes us kind of uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about it, but it's really, really important to talk about it. So joining us now, our next guest is Mark Horner. He is the president of Fairhaven Wealth Management. He's a certified financial planner and wealth advisor. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Well, certainly glad that you're here with us today. So talk to us about our financial resolutions, because I think there's so much information out there. Sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. And then when you put this kind of layer of taboo about talking about money, it gets even weirder. So where should we start?
Yeah, so this is a common time of the year that a little bit of extra anxiety pops up in people's financial lives. So when those credit card statements start rolling in January about the holiday spending that people have been doing, it's just natural to get a little bit more anxiety. And it's interesting that a recent Forbes study showed that people with written financial plans were four times more confident about their financial future than those without a plan. So I think just going through the process of writing down our goals and what we're trying to accomplish with our finances, that process just in and of itself helps to reduce anxiety. And and some specific goals that people might be thinking about or might consider this year is to simplify their financial lives. And you can do that. So if you're carrying six credit cards in your wallet, maybe you think about cutting that down to two, both literally paying off those credit cards and then cutting them up. You might also think about rolling over a 401k plan from a previous employer. So the Department of Labor says that on average people will hold 10 to 11 jobs through the course of their working careers. And if you just let those sit out there, you end up approaching retirement with 10 or 11 different accounts that you could be keeping track of in just one or two by rolling over a former plan balance in a 401k to your current employer or to an IRA.
That's very important. And I think I've heard a lot of people talking too about when you mentioned credit cards, I've heard a couple of people resolve to move their credit card balances to specifically be about cards with reward points that they value, like that would support an organization that's meaningful to them or something like that, which I thought was an interesting approach too.
Yeah, so that's very much a personal decision. It doesn't need to have to be all about the credit card that's got the lowest interest rate necessarily. I'll tell you personally, I have two credit cards in my wallet. I'm 6'7", so those cards that I carry in my wallet are hooked up to an airline that I like to travel on, and I am happy to pay the annual fee with those credit cards to get some miles to get me into seats with some extra leg room so I'm not flying with my knees in the middle of my chest.
Amen. I hear you. I'm 5'10". I hear you. That goes. That's a good one. I like that a lot. And then, so what else are we kind of thinking of when we think about those goals and we're trying to simplify, how do we even go about those goals? Or is it kind of a guess, or is it based on your values? And what are examples of good goals to have even?
Yeah, so it's very personal. So everybody's got some different sets of goals, whether it's saving enough for retirement, which might be a common goal, or if they'd like to save for their kids or grandkids' college education. Some people feel differently about that. But I'd say in general, to help increase the odds of following through on our goals and keeping the resolutions that we make, the more that you can automate them so you don't need to think about them, the greater likelihood you have of hitting your goals. So specifically, if saving for retirement, a lot of company 401k plans have a feature where you can automatically increase your contributions each year by 1% without even thinking about it. It just happens naturally. You're not even going to see the difference in your month-to-month paycheck, but that small increase, automatic increase, is going to result in much more money accumulated for you in retirement, or automating monthly contributions, again, to 529 plans for college. The more we can automate things, the less we have to think about, greater chance of us following through on our resolutions.
I really like that one, because that automated can kind of help you, maybe if you struggle with financial discipline or something like that, that can really help you kind of outrun your brain a little bit. That's a great one.
Absolutely. Tough to automate going to the gym, but easier to automate things in finances.
Right. Definitely. Do it where you can, I suppose. And then what else do you recommend that we really do as we think about the new year? We've kind of decided we've made a plan, we've automated, we've written down some goals. What else do we need to do?
I think it's important to reward yourself that it's okay. So again, just like in maybe a financial or a physical fitness goal, if your goal is to lose 10 pounds, you should reward yourself when you've lost that first 5 pounds. And so I think that concept is very similar in our financial lives, that when we go into the human resources department and sign up for that 1% increase, or when we fill out the paperwork to go ahead and automate our funding of our Roth IRA or a 529 plan, or if you make an extra payment on your mortgage at the end of the year to try and reduce debt, you should reward yourself and give yourself a pat on the back. It's not financial planning does not have to all be drudgery. There should be opportunities for positive feedback as well.
And what about those rewards? What do you recommend for rewards that aren't necessarily putting you back in the red?
Yeah, so I think it can be something as simple as, well, so I'll tell you specifically, one of our clients just made their last payment on their mortgage, just paid off their house. That's a huge financial milestone, and we just encourage them this weekend when you're celebrating New Year's, you make sure, and when you're raising a glass to New Year's Eve, you include congratulating each other. So this is a husband to a wife congratulating your spouse on running through that milestone. So it doesn't need to be some $10,000 vacation. Even just a simple raising of the glass to recognize that, hey, we just ran through an important financial milestone. It can be as simple as that.
I love that. That's great advice. Mark Horner, president of Fairhaven Wealth Management, certified financial planner and wealth advisor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Thanks. Happy New Year. 720 WGN. We got to let that one play for a minute. We have a little dance party here in the studio. Anyway, it's a Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Amy Guth. Thanks for being with me today. I appreciate you sharing part of your Friday. Hope you're getting outside. There's a little bit of sunshine out there. Hope you're soaking it in. And I hope you have a lovely, lovely New Year's. I hope I will be with you 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow to help you ring in the new year. And we're going to be talking about some kind of year-end stuff and looking ahead, as we've been doing on the program today, as it relates to business and career and all that good stuff. We talked a little bit earlier with Tom Gimbel from the LaSalle Network. He's the founder and CEO. And he talked about career resolutions, but there's a really interesting piece at Fast Company that I also want to point your attention to, because it's talking about resolutions specific to your productivity, which I think is really, really interesting, because I think we have, you know, we're in a moment culturally where we really prize productivity and super busyness. And I think that's a standard answer when we say, how are you? The answer is busy, right? That's a thing we say now. And I've admonished that a few times on the program, kind of the cult of busy. So let's think in the new year a little bit less about how busy we are and a little bit more about working smarter, so we can have that balance that we talk about a lot on this program, and we can do it smartly and well. And so we have a little extra time. But anyway, in this piece in Fast Company, there's some advice, and some of it is a little bit counterintuitive that I think is really interesting. One of them on this little list about resolutions to simplify your workday and work smarter and kind of hack your productivity, one of them is to listen to music at work, which, okay, check, we just did that. We were just listening to music a second ago. But their point really is that that studies have found that even just 15 minutes of music at work can help increase creative problem-solving abilities and performance and improve your mood while you work. So I think, like, I get a little distracted if they're, like, with lyrics, but sometimes just instrumental music, classical, something like that, or just some kind of cool beat or something like that. I think that helps a lot when you're trying to really focus. I don't know about you, but it does for me. The next one on this list says to declutter your workspace, but do not leave it empty, which is an interesting point, because we often talk about kind of, you know, really super organizing. And a lot of people are doing that KonMari method of lots of things, of completely clearing out your space and leaving nothing out on the counter or the desk or anything like that. But their advice really is that while too much clutter can distract you from getting things done, actually just having one or two things with that kind of have some meaning attached to them, like a photo of your family, kind of something that speaks to your why, to your motivation, why you're there, why you do the work that you do, that can be something to help your productivity, which I think is a really interesting point. And then it goes on to say some advice that we've heard before, like making end of the day to-do lists and things like that. But this one I super love, and that is to schedule the unschedulable, which is basically don't schedule yourself too much and make sure that you have a couple of breaks in there to give yourself time to contemplate. I think that's something we're all lacking, right? We have so much information coming at us all the time from so many different directions. We're just kind of jumping on one fire to the next to put out the fires. But this is schedule time to contemplate, to brainstorm, all those kind of things. And have a low productivity to-do list. I love this one. I'm going to start this one right away. And that's when, you know, some days you just get there and you're like, oh, I can't today. I'm on the struggle bus, you know, where it seems really uphill or it's really hard to get in the zone or you're just not feeling focused. Maybe you didn't get a good night's sleep that night before, or you didn't eat well, or whatever it is that keeps you supercharged. If you're a little, you know, made a misstep on that, have this list that you turn to for the stuff that you need to do when you're not on your A game, maybe when you're bringing your like A minus game or your B game. Have that list of the lower productivity things where you can sit there and do, like, I know I need to sit here and do this filing, or I need to, you know, organize these things. That way you don't have to be coming up with a super creative solution, but nonetheless, you're getting stuff done. And when you're in that A game mood and you're really bringing it, you're not necessarily spending that time organizing the files or whatever those things are that you could be doing in a low productivity time. I super love that. So I've got to figure out how to redo my to-do list now to work on that. It also suggests putting your brain on autopilot as often as possible. We just heard that from our last guest a little bit, Mark Horner. He was talking about our financial resolutions, about how we can automate a lot of those financial goals to kind of get out of our own way a little bit. But in this case, it's putting your brain on autopilot, where if you try to reduce the number of decisions you have to make and create things that are routines and they become habit, and then you don't think about it. You just do it. You just do those things, right? Our President Obama, he has talked about this many times, because he said he's all about, like, he takes a lot of decisions out of clothing. Like, if he likes a shirt, he'll buy 16 of them. And if he likes a suit, he'll get one in every color or whatever, because that's, to him, that's like streamlining decisions. And he in an interview about productivity, about getting things done, he specifically addressed that very thing, that he really tries to strip out as many decisions as possible, which I think is really, really an interesting way to do it.
No, and I'm a little bit different.
What you do?
Well, I try to be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, it's not about being religious. Spiritual is something entirely different.
Absolutely agreed.
But the thing is, you can restart your day at any time during the day. So if I walk in the door here and it's just not the place I want to be.
I can't imagine that happening here ever.
Ever can't imagine that happening. But if you have one of those days, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, you know what? Take a deep breath. It's like, this, we're going to get through this. All right?
Oh, yeah.
Just reset the clock. Somebody says something to you on the bus or on the L that's really inappropriate and it ticks you off. You don't need to carry it around.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
And the other thing is, when you've had a bad moment, you've had the bad moment.
It's done.
You don't have to continue reliving yeah. the bad moment. So you can feel the anger again and again, because the only person you're hurting when you do that is not the idiot who said something stupid to you. It's you.
I know. That's so
because
isn't that funny.
Because whoever it is that's chewed you out or said something dumb to you, they're going on with their day. Right. And they are not thinking about you.
Yeah, isn't that true? Isn't
you,
that
on the other hand, have rented space in your skull to them.
I think you feel strongly about this, David.
Well, it's something that I've unfortunately had experience with.
Sure.
And it's like, you know what? Let it go.
That's really true. And you know what? You were talking about resetting your day. I'm a big yoga and meditation person. And for years, I told myself I couldn't do that. I said, oh, I can't sit still. I can't do it. You just have to find the yoga thing or the thing, whatever your yoga is, right? It's different for everybody. But when I finally got into it, I totally agree with you. You can reset your day, even like 5 or 10 minutes, just walk outside or something. There's an app called Headspace that's really great. It's kind of it's a time.
Self-guided.
Yeah. It's like a timeout.
A guided meditation,
I should say. It's a guided meditation. It's this guy with this delightful British accent named Andy. And he kind of walks you through this just like, hey, man, let it go. And he's funny and he's not too woo-woo about it. And yeah, I agree. But there's a lot. I mean, I think there's no one right way to do something like that, right? I think we've all just said, I got to just walk outside for a minute and take it in, get some fresh air. I think that expression exists
for
a reason.
I think the bottom line is you can be as happy as you choose to be, or as miserable as you allow yourself to be. So, opt to be happy.
I agree with that. And, you know, just the other day I was talking with a friend of mine who, her motto is say yes to all of it. And, of course, she doesn't literally say yes to everything, but it's her cue that she gives herself to make sure she's not getting in her own way and inadvertently saying no. And to her, she said the way you often catch yourself doing that is when you say, yeah, but, because the yeah is usually pointing to something you really, really want, a big goal that's burning a hole in your chest. And the but is the thing you're telling yourself of why you can't do it. So that.
Yes, and but are two words that shouldn't go together in any sentence, because one negates. The but negates the yes.
Exactly. So as we move into the new year, let us think about where we're saying yeah, but to ourselves, and maybe just more yeah. See how we can get out of our own way in the year ahead. Of course, we'll be here and bringing you lots of experts to help you figure that out. I'm back tomorrow at noon on the Wintrust Business Lunch with more experts talking all about how to have a really great year in the year ahead and things people are doing right here in Chicago to make Chicago have a really great year in the year ahead. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN.